I do not have scripture up here for you tonight, so you have to look in your Bible tonight. Romans 8. We're going to finish up what we part two of this morning, talking about waiting on the change. Waiting on the change. We laid a foundation this morning of why the change was possible, because of the grace of Jesus, because the cross is what brought it about. So we'll go into tonight a little bit of what we can expect with this change, which is very exciting for us. Aren't you glad that this journey here is not it? Aren't you so thankful there's more than this earthly existence? For those that are God's people, there's a greater glory for us to walk into. And man, I'm thankful for that. I know we went to see the Billy Graham Library. I took my parents down there a year or two ago to see it. And have you been to the Billy Graham Library? Anybody been down there? It's very nice. If you haven't been, go. Easy to find off Tyvola Road. There's no charge to tour everything. It's a wonderful exhibit, and you really feel like you've been with the Lord going through that experience. And when you leave, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but you know, you may not go, so I'll tell you anyway. But I won't describe it exactly, but I'll give you an idea. On the way out, the last stop before the double doors open and you exit out of the main part to leave, the thing's over. There's these bright, the big old cross you walk through, big old lit cross with all these kind of rows of lights. And Mom looked at me, the doors open, because it looked so heavenly. She looked at me and said, "James, take my hand just in case." I said, "Okay." She wanted to make sure we walked in the glory together. I mean, that's how it looked, you know. So we walked through this cross. I guess Mom wanted to make sure that, you know, she had somebody with her in case this was it. And we went through, but it was just beautiful. So if you haven't went to it, please go to it. It's a wonderful thing to do. Take your children. A lot of our young people don't know who Billy Graham was. They just don't know who he is. And he is truly, one of the ministers of grace that preaches Jesus. He's not real deep. He doesn't do a lot of end-time revelation. He preaches Jesus. And that is the most important message to preach. So if you get a chance to go down there, it's a wonderful place to go. All right, Romans 8. Let's start with verse 17. It's where we left off this morning, and then we'll go 18 through 23. Verse 17 in Romans 8 says, "If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify, that we may also be glorified together." So we know glorification is coming to us. Then Paul says in verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's a glory coming that's going to be revealed in us that can't compare to what we're facing right now. You know, everybody lives for this earth, for this moment, for the house, for the car, for the job, for the money, for the retirement, for the vacation home. We live our whole lives between two dashes, birth to death. That's how we live our lives. And we try to accumulate as much as we can. And we think that success is measured by what we achieve here. And we think this is all there is because, frankly, it's all we understand. I mean, this is really all we understand. We're very limited in knowledge of the spiritual things. So we think of things as time like it is, space like it is. We think that way. But there's a glory coming to God's people that's going to be revealed in us. It's not yet been revealed. Now, the glory is in us. It's just not been yet fully manifested. But it will be, because right now we are waiting. And that's why it's important. While you're waiting, you worship. While you're waiting, you serve. While you're waiting, you witness. While you're waiting, you do all you can for God. Because we are in waiting right now. There's a transformation. I use this a lot as an example. We are like a caterpillar in a cocoon right now. We are in the cocoon stage. We are growing day by day. The world doesn't see who we are. We don't even see yet who we are. But there's a day the shell of our cocoon will dissolve and it will fall off and we will be glorious and we will burst forth with the colors of glory that God had planned from the very beginning. You may feel like a worm today, but there's a butterfly coming out. There's a glory going to be revealed. There's something yet to be unleashed that we've not yet walked into. That is the hope of our future in Christ, is that glorification. And that is for all of us that are in Christ Jesus, because we share with it. Can I get amen in the house? Glory to God. Thank you very much. Don't make the children start amen to me, adults. We need to understand this is not it. And we live our lives, many people live it like this is it. This is all there is. It's a very short amount of little time compared to eternity. You know, we can't measure time and space. People say, you know, I can't imagine just praising God forever because I can't praise Him for 15 minutes. You mean I got to praise Him forever? I can't imagine singing to God forever. I can't imagine. But see, we have to realize time is not going to be measured like we know it now. It's not going to be measured the same way. It's a whole different system that we've not yet been revealed to us. But it will be eternal. It will be unending. And there is no doubt we will be full of joy and peace all of our days. That's the glory going to be revealed. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation, or creature, which means creation, it waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's a waiting right now for the children of God to come forth and once again have their rightful position in the earth. Now, what is creation? Creation's waiting. Not talking about we're waiting. This is talking about creation. You know what creation is? It's the animal world. It's the clouds and the mother nature we talked about a few weeks ago. That's creation. Now, think about this. Creation is waiting. Because, see, things aren't right. Things aren't as they should be. Volcanoes should not be erupting. Tornadoes should not be spinning. Hurricanes should not be blowing. But, see, all of this is a disruption of creation because the fall of man. Things aren't in harmony. But when the sons of God are manifested, all things again will become like it was supposed to in the beginning. Peace in the earth forevermore. That's what's waiting on us. Creation shouldn't, you know, the animal world shouldn't die, but it does. All creation will once again be forevermore alive and well and doing how it's supposed to be doing. The fall of man didn't just affect man, it affected everything in between. It affected everything. And that's why scientists call it global warming, scientists call it deep freeze, scientists call it whatever they want to call it. But what's happening is the creation is unsettled. Because things aren't in proper order. But church, when things get back in proper order, things will be right everywhere, in all things. So creation's waiting on that to happen, waiting on those sons of God to come forth. Verse 20, for the creation was made subject to vanity, and not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also, now here it tells it, the creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. All things are going to change when this change takes place. Nothing will be like we see it now. All things will be different. God created this earth, and God's going to restore this earth, and God's going to restore His people just like it was in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect. Church, it was perfect. There was no sin in the beginning. There was no sickness in the beginning. There was no tragedy in the beginning. There was no fear or no pain or no sorrow or no loss. It was because the only governing force was God Himself is who governed the earth, who governed His people. That was it. All man had to do was surrender and listen to God, and God provided everything to man. And man had dominion. You read Genesis, it says that He gave Adam dominion, which means authority and power over the fowls of the air, over creation. He was empowered because he was made in the image of God. And we, once again, because of the glorification that's already in us, it will one day be produced, and we will again be made in the full image of God, looking like Him, walking like Him, with nothing at all coming against us from Satan or the enemy, because He will be captured and delivered away and taken away forevermore. That's what we have promised for us. That's our future. That's a lot better than a beach house. Pretty close. No, it's a lot better than a beach house. A lot better. Beach houses flood and beach houses get destroyed and beach houses go to foreclosure. But thank God our future in Christ is eternal and it is secure and it is forever. And that's our hope as Christians. This is not it. We can suffer a lot of things now to know what is to come. And that's why we can have joy in our suffering. Just as the Bible says, because sorrow may be for a day, but joy is going to come, church. We may be sorrowful today. You may have lived your whole life in chronic pain, but there's a day that pain is going to be lifted off, and you will no longer have chronic pain. You will walk in victory forevermore. You may have lived your whole life in discouragement and oppressed, but there's going to be a day when that glory in you is revealed, that oppression is going to be lifted off forever, and you will once again have the mind of Christ forevermore in your life. This is a temporary situation we're in. We are simply waiting until the change. That's all we are. We are in waiting. You know how a computer buffers, which is very aggravating. It happened a while ago. We're trying to get our songs. You pull something up and it spins. Buffering. Spinning. What are we doing? Waiting. That song is there, and that song's going to come up. But we're in waiting till it does. That's where we are now, with a circle. And our 40, 60, 80, 100 years, however long you live on the earth, we're spinning. That's all we're doing. We're a big spin. We're just waiting. Because we were birthed. We were keyed in. James Lewis, April 20th, 19. Boom, entered in. Then, from that moment on, we're spinning. Until Jesus calls us home. Then it's manifested. Our song pops up. All of us are simply in waiting for something greater that's yet to come. That is why Paul said, encourage each other with these words of the return of the Lord. Encourage each other. Tell each other, man, brother, you ain't going to always have to face this. Don't worry about it. I know you're in pain, but there's a day all pain's going to be gone. I know you're suffering. There's a day all suffering's going to be gone. I know that you're grieving. There's a day all your grieving's going to be gone. There's a day you're going to be united again with those that's went on. They are not lost somewhere in some kind of fictitious space. They are in the presence of a holy God, and they are simply waiting on us to walk into our glorification. That is it. They are real, they are alive, and they're not just on some shelf waiting somewhere. They are experiencing the presence of God right now. And those of us that are still here are just waiting to walk into that. There have been some great losses in the church over the past few years, in my own family, in Melanie's family, and a lot of your family's personal close loss. But those that are in Christ are seeing a lot more than we're seeing here. And they're walking in much more than we're walking in here. And there is no way they have any desire or any heart or any intent to ever want to be back in this position again. They have crossed over to a point that is just wonderful. Remember the Twilight Zone? I'm a Twilight Zone buff. Love the old Twilight Zones. And you remember the episode where the hunter dies? He's got his dog with him. And they're walking down the trail going to heaven. Now, I know Lost is fictitious, but it makes a good example. That he walks, and this one guy stops him and says, come on, heaven's over here. But now dogs ain't allowed. And that dog started growling and snarling and growling, and knew something wasn't right. He says, well, I don't want to be in no heaven. My dog ain't allowed. I got Don's attention here. I don't want to be in no heaven. My dog ain't allowed. So he passes on by, and then he runs to somebody else. Runs to somebody else and says, come on in. This is heaven. He said, can my dog come? Sure, he can come. So was that guy back there? Oh, you didn't stop in front of that guy, did you? He said, that wouldn't have been heaven you'd have went in. It wouldn't have been. What would have been? The other place. So him and his dog walk on into heaven together, walk on into behind the old pearly gates forevermore. He says, you'll love it. And I know some of it's fictitious, but I'm just saying for us, it goes a lot deeper. He asked the angel, whoever it was, said, how's the hunting up here? It's wonderful, man. You know, coon hunts all the time. Wonderful. And he says, all right, you hear that, buddy? Come on in. And they went into heaven together. But he didn't know where he was at first. He found himself on this journey and didn't understand he was dead for a long time until somebody told him, you know, I'm dead. See, I really believe there's not going to be that knowledge of death. It's the next rim for us is going to be more real than this rim ever was. I've said this many times. I know scripture on this. Just a personal thought for what it's worth. I often wonder when the glorification comes in our lives, will we ever reflect on this as being a dream? We'll wake up, man, I had a dream that I was a preacher, and I lived on Robin Hood Loop, and I had three kids, and a dog, and a cat, and a beautiful honey, and Melanie too. And had this dream, and I believe it's going to be almost like a, just a, like, that's because when we wake up, that's what's real. Because you know what? That's what we were created for, church. The glory God has waiting is what we were, that's why that within ourselves we desire to be clothed with that so deeply. Because that's really what we're designed to be. Immortal. That's how the design was in the very beginning. And then sin destroyed it, but grace redeemed it. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Creation is groaning. The word travaileth means birth pains. There's birthing pains going on in creation. Waiting on this because things are not in order. Things aren't right. When it's 32 in Miami and 85 in New York, things aren't right, right? I'm not saying it's that way now. But we see things aren't right. We see storms and weather patterns and things just are unsettled. Because creation is groaning for it to be right again. See, God not only created us, he created all creation. He created the earth, and he created the animal world, and the plant world, and the mountains, and the seas. He created those things. And I often think about when these tsunamis happen, which is usually created by an underwater volcanic activity. And as the volcanoes underwater begin to erupt, it causes those waves to go thousands of miles sometimes. What causes that? What's that eruption? Now, I know scientists would describe it as gases build up. Yes, absolutely. But why is that happening? Are those volcanoes pushing? Pushing for release. Pushing to be relieved. That wasn't supposed to be funny, y'all. Only young people laughed at that. Pushing. Oh, Jeremy laughed too. Sorry. Old people too. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting there thinking about that. I can see that volcano, you know, I'm ready to deliver. I'm ready. I'm in pain, and I want to be released again. You ever thought about that? I mean, think about this. All the wildness of nature. It was never meant to be that. I don't ever think Adam had to worry about a tornado. Do y'all? Take cover, Eve. Get in the shelter. You got the canned beans down there? Come on before it gets you. Come on, Toto. Whew. They didn't have that issue. I don't think in creation they had to worry about tsunamis and hurricanes. They had to worry about, what do they call it? Storm Adam. They call them by names. Hurricane Adam. Hurricane Eve. Category 5. Here it comes. You know why? Everything was at peace with God and in God. Everything was at peace. Sin messed everything up. We even know, you women will love this, you already know this, there was no pain in childbirth until the fall. There was no pain in childbirth. Wouldn't that be nice? Nope. I mean, don't affect me. But wouldn't that be nice? No pain. No medication needed not to have pain. Just God just gave you this great gift with no pain. I love the verse that says, God maketh thee rich and addeth no sorrow. That's what should be our desire. That we want God's blessing, because God's blessing doesn't add sorrow. Sometimes man's blessing does. But there's no strings attached with God. When God bless you, there's no strings attached. It's the favor and blessing of God. So, creation's groaning, and they're in pain. Verse 23, not only they, not creation, but ourselves, which, and we talked about this morning, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. What does that mean, the first fruits of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our down payment. We receive the Holy Spirit of God in our bodies as the down payment, as the security for our latter redemption. It gives us security. We know what down payment is. You put a down payment, it holds it until you pay the balance. The Holy Spirit was our down payment to hold us and hold it in check. We can be secure that because we have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to just leave us, church. The seed remains. Remember that. The seed of God remains in us. And so, the Holy Spirit came to remind us, you're mine. Zoe Brown, you're mine. That's why I give you those chill bumps sometimes. You feel that presence of God. That's your down payment. You're mine. Hang on. Because more is to come. Isn't that great? You put a down payment. They always want more to come. They want the balance. They want the rest of it. And then when that rest of it comes, that's our glorification. But the Holy Spirit's our down payment. It says, We which have the first fruits of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. There's a groaning inside, waiting on that redemption, recognizing there's more to come than what we have here. None of us want to grow old. I mean, there's nobody that I don't think has a problem with saying, I don't care if I grow old. I want to be wrinkled and crippled. That don't bother me. Nobody wants that. We don't like looking in the mirror and seeing how we look versus 50 years ago. None of us normally like that. Somebody at church was gracious enough to remind me this morning. Says, must be something in the North Iredell water, huh? So I said, yeah. None of us like looking in the mirror and seeing that. None of us like seeing the wrinkles on our face, our skin growing thinner, our bones growing weaker. That's part of the aging sin process. None of us enjoy it. We've lost parents. Some of you lost parents. You've lost grandparents. It's no fun to see death take the first tabernacle out. That's no fun. And so what are all of us hoping for? We're hoping that God changes us before we get to that point. That's what we desire. Every generation of Christianity is taught that. And there will be a generation that walks in it. That is not buried, but that they are changed and glorified, and they are manifested from this shell into their new shell without tasting physical death. The Bible speaks of that. It says, for those that are left and remain shall be changed. So who does that include? That could be 1,000 years, Pastor. Could be. But it's going to happen to somebody. It's going to happen to somebody. Do I want to be part of that? I sure do. Do I want Mel to be part of that? I sure do. I don't want to pay for a funeral. I want us to be changed together. I want, and see, that's our hope. And the Holy Spirit gives us that assurance that we're His, that it's on the way. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you. I'm on the way. Just trust me, I'm on the way. Kind of like when you plan a vacation. If you're like me, most of the time guys are bigger than women, I know. But man, I love, part of the high for me on vacation is the countdown. Melly put on her cell phone a couple years ago, a vacation countdown. Remember, so many days out. You put it way out. Oh, my Lord, MySpace, that was a long time ago. Anyway, she had a countdown. And so when you plan a vacation, you know what it is? You've made your reservation. You pay for the first night's deposit. Normally, you got to pay for the first night's room ahead of time. It's, you got a confirmation number, 6463G794. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. We will see you May 23rd, whatever. Be safe coming down the road. Yes, ma'am. See you then. So we put on our calendar. The down payment's down. The room's secure. I already can see myself in the room. I already see myself with my remote and my television swivel. It swivels on the thing. And the soft little beds, and I love the air conditioner units in the hotels, because you crank them up. You know, I sleep right beside it, wide open. Oh, I love the air. I freeze mentally. So I crank it up. I can see myself in the pool, in the hot tub, relaxing and chilling, laying on the beach. I envision it. And you know what? I'm on the way. I might be here on Sunday, but I'm on the way. The deposit's paid, buddy, and it's non-refundable. Just like the Holy Spirit. When it comes into your life, it's non-refundable. It's there. Don't let Christians tell you God's going to take it away from you. No, it's a deposit He gives you. That's what grace is all about. If God removed it and then put it back, removed it, put it back, that wouldn't be grace. Grace means unmerited favor. It means you got something you didn't deserve. We all did that, right? I love what Melanie said this morning. And she thanked me at lunch for reinforcing it because I didn't hear no amens on it. And maybe you're just listening. That's fine. But I love what she said when she said that, talking about murder, that our sins murdered Jesus. It's our sins that crucified Him. We don't like to think about that because we want to think, I didn't have nothing to do. I wasn't even born. Yeah, that's not the point. We know we're born in sin. Not by our actions, by our nature. Our nature, we're born in sin. I don't care how cute a kid is. Little Maverick, these little boy, adorable little boy, you know, laughs, giggles, hollers, amens, raises his hand. Beautiful little kid. But that little two-year-old boy, he was born and still is. Now, I know something happened to him now. He doesn't understand, but I'm talking about the nature. He is born with that sin nature. That's what causes you when you're 2 and 3 and 16 and 18 if you don't know the Lord, to be sassy and bad mouth. It doesn't take very long for your 1-year-old and 2-year-old to start doing things you shouldn't be doing. Repeating bad words, trying to hit you. No. I got a suggestion how to fix that. Slap the daylights out of them, and they won't do it again. This is recording, right? Okay. We'll edit that part out. I'm just saying. I mean, my Lord. There's kids in Walmart I want to go strangle. Women pushing their kids around. They're pushing around, looking at stuff. They're just not saying a word. I want to say, ma'am, can I spank your child? I don't mind. I mean, goodness, takes the control. But see, those little kids begin to do that. You don't have to teach a child how to lie and steal. It's automatic. Automatic. They start sneaking around. There's not a sneak manual. You teach them at 3. You read them, Mary had a little lamb. His sheep was white as... His sheep was... His clothes were... His fleece was white as snow. Thank you. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the little lamb would go. You don't say this. You can steal and cheat and lie and cuss. Do it every day. And if you're really good, then you'll be in hell one day. I mean, you don't say that. But they learn it. Don't they learn it? It's automatic. You have to be taught not to steal and not to lie and not to cheat. It's automatic because of sin nature. So we're all born with it. And the only way it's remedied is through the grace of Jesus. Knowing he took our place, bearing our sins upon him. And because of that, I'm now free from the law of sin and death forevermore. Aren't you glad there's no death sentence? No death sentence. You know, I'm going to be in court with someone in the morning. It's not going to be a very good time for this person. It's not going to be a very good sentence. And I was sitting there thinking, this is, once again, a picture of how Jesus did for us, that we appear before him, the great judge, and we're charged with all of these things. And he looks at me and says, the maximum penalty for your sins is death. By execution or whatever, death. But then he looks and says, you know what, I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to pardon you. Mr. Lewis, you are free to go. Your sins and your crimes and your rap sheet has been wiped away. You're free to go. That's what he did for us. The devil wants to keep you locked behind jail. The devil's the one that wants to keep you bound and remind you of how unworthy you are. Sure, we were unworthy, but we're not anymore with the blood. We're his righteousness now. We're his children now. Think about your own children, no matter what they are. I mean, parents and grandparents, and by the grace of God, I hope I never have to face it in my children. But I've seen parents and grandparents, they live their whole lives, and they love their children, and they're, some of them's in and out of jail their whole lives, and they're there, and they're there, and they're there, and they never quit loving them, and they never quit giving up on them. They shouldn't. That's what Jesus did for us. He don't quit loving us because we mess up. He don't quit fellowshipping with us because we're not in the right place. He still loves us. We're still his child. I can't take the blood out of my children and recreate new DNA. They are part of, they got Lewis in them. They got my name. They are from me. My seed is in my children, just as the seed of Christ is in you. And no matter what you do, you might be a dysfunctional child of God. You might be an off-the-course child of God. Notice everything I'm saying, I'm attaching child of God to it. You may be a disobedient child of God. You may be a stronghold-bound child of God. You may be a dark place child of God. But you are still, the main part of that is, you are still a child of God. The DNA that Jesus shed upon you and inside of you cannot be altered or changed. You are stained and you are marked and your sins are as white as snow. Your transgression, the Bible says, has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Cast away in the sea of forgetfulness. God is holding nothing against you anymore. That's why Jesus came and died and rose. And when he rose, he came out with your forgiveness and with your grace and with your mercy and with your healing. Can somebody hear the word tonight? Y'all want to stay bound in sin? Stay that way, church. I am free, free forever by the grace of God. And I'll never go back to that condemnation message of saying you're lost because I made a mistake. I am God's seed. The Holy Spirit is my down payment, my assurance that I'm his. And there's more to come because I'm in waiting. Praise God. I might be buffering right now. and buff at the same time. But I am in waiting. I am in waiting. And that glorification is going to come. That trumpet's going to sound. There's going to be a day that we will just walk out of this shell and into our new shell. It'll be a seamless transition of one glory to the next glory in a spiritual sense that we will put on immortality. The grave will have no power. The law has been fulfilled by the grace of Jesus, and death no longer is our enemy because Jesus is our friend. Glory to God. That is the gospel, and that is the power of the word. Get free tonight. Here's what's hard for us as Christians. It's hard for us to stay free. You think about someone that served time, 80% of them go back a second time. Cycle of how it is. It's hard to stay free. Church, let's stay free. Not just get free, but stay free. And recognize that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Forevermore I am free. I am not going to let the devil encamp me and chain me back up like some dog on a leash and control my life. I have been freed from that through the power of the blood of Jesus. And grace, as I said this morning, grace does not give us a reason to sin. It gives us a reason to serve. That's what true grace does. Glory. We're waiting on the redemption of our body. Wouldn't it be great to know all the pain you suffer now is going to be gone one day? All the loss of loved ones you're going to see again, fellowship's going to be restored. They've not left your life. They're just waiting on the other side, church. I wanted to read out of here too. Turn to Ephesians 1 with me. Real quick, Ephesians chapter 1, it's a few books over from Romans. About 3 or 4 books over, Ephesians. I want to read 2 more scriptures to you before we close tonight. We've been talking a lot as this year has began about trusting the Lord again, returning to a complete trust in God. You know, there's a lot of fear. There's people even now that are trying to stock up on water and on food. And if that's you, I'm not condemning it. I just want to encourage you to say this. If God takes care of the robins and takes care of his creation day by day, how much more will he take care of you? Church, we better trust the Lord, because you can't store enough food in your own self to last what could come. But God can. God fed Elijah with a raven. And then fed him with a broke, on fixed income, widow woman who had one meal left for her and her son. She gave it to the prophet. And God saved the prophet. And as Melanie brought a good point about that service I preached, she goes, you know, I thought about this, how, yeah, it was for Elijah. And I meant to bring that point up in my message, actually, and I didn't because I thought about that too. Melanie brought it up after church, said, you know, Elijah was blessed by that widow woman and sustained. But she said, I wonder, was the purpose more for her than for Elijah? To restore to her what she needed the rest of her life. So that one seed she gave to Elijah, that one seed she planted in God's economy, produced a harvest out of God's economy that lasted forever. So, kudos, number 2. Good job. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you have trusted. Now look at this. In whom you've trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, that's good news. We know what a seal means in the natural. A seal means something official. A seal is something you work in the post office. Seals are very official. If it's sealed, it's got a seal. That's a authorized document, sealed. I've got a little stamp in my office that we have a Living Word Ministries and our corporation. It's a seal that sometimes we do stuff and we seal it with that. That's authorizing it as a legal document of this church. It's sealed. It is a done deal. It is the truth. We have been sealed, secure by the Holy Spirit. We're not done yet. He's not done yet. We've not seen all yet, but we're sealed. Until that day. Verse 14, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest, that means down payment, of our, our inheritance until we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We're a purchased possession right now. We're purchased. Do you remember what year you gave your heart to the Lord, Joe Brown? What year did you give your heart to Jesus? 1969, right in the middle of the hippie pot transition. Rough years those years were. America was changing dynamically during that time. 1969, let's think about this. Who was the president in 1969? That would have been Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, president, 1969. In 1969, there were no computers like we know them now, No technology like we know now. No cell phones. No cordless phones. 1969, I wasn't even born then. 1969, Joe Brown gave his heart to Jesus. 79, 89, 90. That was 44 years. So the promise that Jesus gave Joe Brown in 1969 that came into his heart, look at where he is today. Y'all that know Joe Brown have been here for 10 years in the church. He loves God. He served for 44 years. That has sealed his life. The Holy Spirit has preserved him through, seven presidents, several wars, several gas hikes, several economic collapse. When the hostages in Iran were being released in 1980, Joe Brown was sealed. When the wall of Berlin came down, Joe Brown was sealed. Neil Armstrong walked the moon, 68 or 69. Yeah. So when Neil Armstrong was bouncing off the moon, Joe Brown was sealed. Think of 44 years Joe Brown's been in waiting. And God's not done yet. Joe's spinning. He's a circle on a screen, just spinning, waiting, buffering during this journey. And the day that Jesus calls Joe Brown home to glory will be a day I'll be very sad if you go for me, brother. He will be spinning. And then when that day happens, the picture becomes clear. And there's what he sees. Wow. God's got something very special planned for each of us to see when we walk in. There is no doubt about that. 44 years the Holy Spirit has been Joe Brown's down payment, because he is a purchased possession. Man, that's a good scripture. A purchased possession. Now, if I ask Sharon, has Joe Brown ever made a mistake in 44 years? Has Joe Brown ever sinned in 44 years? Has Joe Brown ever been ugly in 44 years? If Joe Brown did any wrong in 44 years, she would probably say, Of course he's not been a perfect little boy. But he was a purchased possession. And man, that glory, Joe Brown, that you received in 1969 is all just waiting to be completely manifested. That the shackles of your feet will be released. All pain throughout your body will be gone. All things will be restored. We all have that promise. That is our glory waiting on us because of the cross. Because of grace. We could not see that apart from Jesus. It could not have happened. We said this morning, Moses, Abraham, Job, Joshua, all the great men of God read about in the Old Testament, they could not have walked in without the blood of Jesus being sacrificed. They couldn't have this inheritance, but they do. They have it too. Because they were waiting. They were in waiting too, waiting on the Messiah to come and shed his blood. And when he did, they were set free. They were under the law of sin and death until grace came. We're in a great time. Remember, the Bible says that they dreamed of this day. Prophets looked about that day that we're in. Each one of us here tonight were born into a disposition of grace. They weren't. They were born under that law of sin and death, constantly reminding them they're always short of God. But then we were born in the dispensation of grace. where Jesus says, you were short, but I closed the gap. And there's no more separation because of what I've done. That's what grace is. There's a glory coming. We're just in waiting. So what do? We wait. And we serve, as Joe has for 44 years served and been faithful. And we give unto God all that's due his name while we're waiting. And then when our journey's over, we'll see what we're waiting on. And what a glorious day that's going to be for all of us. There is no death in the Christian life. Death's been overcome. Well, preacher, I saw them laying in the casket myself. They're not dead. Not they're Christian. There's no death there. The outer shell left, but the inner life went on. We're a spirit. You realize you couldn't see little Joe Brown without his body? That's not who he really is. That's just the shell God gave him. And what a mighty nice shell it is, like I said. But that's just a shell. That's not who he really is. The real Joe Brown's a spirit. Isn't it odd how when you see a body laying in a casket, if you're home, the body's laying there. Why ain't it moving? The spirit's gone. There's no spirit in it. The flesh may still look good, still look perfect. Man, the flesh looks just right. They look like it did at Walmart last week. They look just the same. They're just laying there with their eyes closed. The shell can't move because the spirit has left the house. That should be good news. That gives us hope, as Paul says. He says, when I'm here in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. Doesn't mean we're not in God's presence. Just means we're not in the glory he's got waiting on us. But then to be absent from this body, to be gone from this body, is to be in the place God prepared for us. There is no death. Jesus overcame death for us. He took our place. So keep waiting. And while you're waiting, serve with joy. Because, man, your vacation is on the way. God already knows the calendar date in the earth of your vacation arrival. And I will tell you, it'll be something so wonderful for God's saints to walk into. We are going to be completely restored. Our bodies immortal forevermore again. Minds renewed forever. Don't focus on this earth. Focus on what is to come. That's our blessing. And that should be our motivation to help other people and lead them to Christ and tell them about Jesus, what he has waiting on them. I love the part in that one song that's sung about the breath. Do you know where you'll be after the last breath? We know that. If you ask Joe Brown, do you know that you know that you know that you are saved? Joe, do you really know, 100% sure, that you will see Jesus when you leave this earth? You say what, Joe Brown? You better believe it. Man, why don't more Christians have that confidence and that assurance to know I am Christ always? Glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for this message and thank you for the hope that's waiting on all of us. Lord, there's a hope. There's a manifestation. Creation is groaning, Lord. That's why there's such disruptive patterns, even in nature. There's a creation. They're birthing. They're wanting to birth this thing forth. They're wanting to birth the sons and daughters of God forth. And that day is coming, Lord. We are sealed now. We know that by your Holy Spirit. And there is a day that is coming that we will walk as the children of God again in full armor of what you birthed us to be. There'll be no flaming sword to keep us out. There'll be no enemy to come in. There'll be no sin or temptation. It will all be destroyed, and we will forever rule and reign with you in the kingdom of God. Thank you for that hope and that promise that is on the way. As we're waiting, Lord, let us be faithful in serving and faithful in loving, faithful in giving, faithful in witnessing, faithful, God, to the things of your kingdom while we're waiting. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place, that we have this hope waiting us. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor that you alone paid the price for my sin. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor. Amen.